Good morning and praise the Lord.
Good morning.
It is good to be in the house of God. Amen.
Amen.
Let us open our Bible and read Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 30. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 30. Amen. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints of Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request for with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, we all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. But then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer, and to the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be my life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing be more abundant in Christ Jesus for me by coming to you again. Amen. Let us now give thanks to God for all the blessing we received from him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus who shed on the cross, for the forgiveness of our sins to give us eternal life. Lord, we come to you today with gratitude for all your goodness, faithfulness, loving kindness to us. Thank you, Lord, for the discipline that we receive from you for our sins, for the rebukes through your word, and for the suffering that you allowed us to pass through in our lives. We thank you for our salvation, for the miracles, wonders, and we thank you for your provision, for our jobs and incomes, for our food, the good health, the strength, answered prayers, for the healing, and for the pleasure that we gather once again today in your house to worship you and serve you. Lord, thank you for all the seen and unseen blessings that you bestow upon us in the name of Jesus. Let us now confess our sins to God, renounce your anger, laziness, stubbornness, selfishness, envy, and jealousy, non-willingness to serve, renounce your worldliness, your lies, and your greed. Lord, we confess our sins and renounce them. Lord, cleanse us by your blood, as you said in your word. If we confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us now pray for our personal petitions and requests, for Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Lord, as we lifted up into your hands our needs, we trust you that you listen to us and will provide for us all our needs in Jesus' name. Let us now pray for our families. Pray for your wife. Pray for your husband. Pray for your children. Pray for your parents and pray for your siblings. Lord, we pray that you protect and provide for each and every family in the church of their needs. Lord, I pray that each and every family to unite daily in reading your word and worship, in kneeling down and in prayers. Lord, I pray for each and every family to be a good example to others around them in the society that they live in. Lord, enable them to evangelize and to reach other people around them and plant Bible studies. Lord, we pray for the salvation of all the family's members who are unsaved. Lord, we pray for each husband to lead his wife and children according to your will. Lord, we pray for each wife to be submissive and a good helper to their husband. Lord, we pray for parents to be united to implement discipline to their children, and the children will be obedient to their parents in obeying their instructions that come from the Word of God. Lord, we pray for the children to give them humble and teachable hearts and make them diligent to help in household chores. Lord, we trust you as we discipline our children that they will grow and be blessed by you. Lord, we pray that you will help each single parent in the church and provide their needs to lead their children in your ways. Let us now pray for our jobs. Pray for yourself to be a good example to others around you and to evangelize to them that through you, they will know to know Christ. Commit yourself to bring your tithes and offerings and your first fruits to God. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters to be example to their colleagues and to evangelize to them by words and by good deeds and attitudes that the salvation of Jesus will reach them. Lord, bless all those places of works for my brethren. I pray that they will receive their salaries on time and they will be honest to bring to you their tithes and their offerings and their first fruits. Lord, I pray for those who are faithful and giving what is due for you, that you will increase their salaries and income in the name of Jesus. Let us now pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in need. If you know any brother or sister in need, pray for him and pray for her. Lord, we pray for those who are sick to heal them and to provide jobs and income to those who are jobless and to give wisdom and solutions to those who are in troubles. Let us now pray for our neighbors, colleagues, relatives, people back home in our countries, and those whom we meet daily to be saved. Lord, we commit ourselves to reach them. With your word and the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord, we commit ourselves to continue to pray for them. Lord, humble them and reveal yourself to them. Grant them repentance and give them salvation in the name of Jesus. Let us now pray for the UAE and the extension of the church in other countries in Oman, Kuwait, Iraq, Pakistan, India, Philippines, Sri Lanka, Indonesia, Armenia, America, Sierra Leone, and Malawi. Lord, we commit ourselves to pray for all those places that you allowed your church to expand through. Lord, we pray for the people that you will reveal yourself to them in visions and dreams. Lord, we commit ourselves to be a good examples to them by obeying the rules and the laws in those countries and be a good citizen and to preach the gospel to them. Lord, prosper all those places so we too will prosper. Lord, we pray that you will give us favor in the eyes of those who are in the government and you will provide for us all the logistics and offices and documents that we need through the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Lord, prosper all those places so we too, your church, to be prosper in the name of Jesus. Let us pray for the church and for all the ministers of the church. Pray for more evangelism, more Bible study groups, and more congregation to be planted. Pray for more people to get water baptized and more workers to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Pray and commit yourself to serve God. Lord, we pray to bless and spread the congregation of the church in other places in the world. Lord, bless the church school, church banking, church clinic, farming ministry, watchman ministry, the publication, children and youths under their parents, wives under their husbands, the translation ministry, and the website. Lord, we pray for humility in leading the ministry you called your church to do and serve others. Lord, fulfill the vision of the church, multiplication in peace, speed implementing the whole will of God. Lord, empower your church to be light, to teach the way of yours to the lost souls. Lord, we pray that your church will be a noble vessel to bring new places that you are leading us to go. We pray, Lord, for more souls to be saved. We pray to give us gifts of healing, faith, discernment, prophecy, teaching, pastoring, evangelism, and the rest of the gifts that we need to reach the lost souls and for further extension of the church. Lord, we commit ourselves to work with you that the fruit of the Holy Spirit will manifest in us. The love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, faith, long-suffering, kindness, and self-control, so people will see Jesus in our lives in the name of Jesus. Let us pray now for our service today. Lord, we pray to anoint our service and refill us once again with the Holy Spirit. Lord, bless our prayers, our songs that we will sing. Bless our giving and bless your message today to us to apply in our lives. Lord, do miracles and wonders as we worship you today. Heal the people, Lord, and set them free from their bondages and save them. Lord, speak to us through your word that we may apply in our lives, that our lives will be a living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto your throne. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us now stand and worship the Lord and sing praises unto him.
Glorified in everything we do. Lord Jesus, we welcome you in our hearts. We have come to this place, to your house, O Lord God, to worship you and be with you once again. Yet we desire, O Lord God, that you will continue to be in our hearts and in our minds, O Lord. Take full control of our lives, O Lord God, we pray. Thank you once more, O Lord God, that you have called us as your children and you have placed us in a family that we can continue to praise you and worship you. Hallelujah. Let's praise him. Yes, you do, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. As we worship you, let your throne be continually be built, O Lord, upon the hearts of your people.
Hallelujah.
Lord Jesus, and take your place.
in our lives, O Lord God. Be enthroned in the midst of us. Be enthroned upon the presence of your people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, when we put you to speak unto us again by your word. For your word is the lamp unto my feet and light to our path. Jesus, you are our light. Your word is our light. You are your very presence. Your Holy Spirit is our light. Lead us on, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us now collect our tithes, offering, and first fruit unto God. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 to 10. Honor the Lord thy God with all thy substance and with all the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with a new wine. Yes, O Lord God, we praise and thank you, Lord. We acknowledge that everything we have, it comes from you alone, O God. And as we give our tithes and offering, bless your people, O God. And bless this money, O God, for the furtherance of your kingdom and your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I am reading from the preaching of Dr. Ramiz, our overseer, entitled Don't Tell Lies, Part 2. Don't Tell Lies, Part 2. Open your Bibles in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 11. King James Version. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 11. Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, and praise you. Thank you, Jesus, for this day, for bringing us in this place to worship you in the beauty of your holiness. Father God, we pray that the message we hear today will transform our lives, leading us closer to you and live a holy life. In Jesus' name, amen. Dealing half of the truth or hiding some of the truth is a lie. We will continue in this message to tackle the bad effects of telling lies and its bad impacts on the life of the people. We will study the following event from the life of Isaac and Rebecca. Genesis chapter 26, verses 1 to 6. Genesis chapter 26, verses 1 to 6. And there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I sware unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and keep my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Here we can see clearly that God was with Isaac and was directing him how to manage the famine that he allowed to come in his life. God assured Isaac that he did not need to go down to Egypt, but to stay in the land of Canaan and in the place that he was in Gerar. That he needed to stay and sojourn there, and he shall be with him and will bless him. As well as that place, the land of Canaan, God shall give to him and to his descendants as God had sworn to Abraham his father. He further assured him that he will multiply his seed as the stars of heaven and will give to them the land of those countries that were on the land of Canaan. Because Abraham, his father, had obeyed the voice of God and had kept his commandments. Let us read further how Isaac acted after all those promises of God and his assurances to him. Genesis chapter 26, verse 7. Genesis chapter 26, verse 7. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, She is my sister. For he feared to say, She is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. Here, the men of that place, when they asked him about his wife, Isaac did not declare to them the truth, but he told a lie, that Rebekah was his sister, because he was afraid that the people of Gerar would kill him in order to take his wife from him, because she was beautiful. He told lies in order to protect himself. Then where was his trust on God and on all the promises that God had made for him? But he relied on lies, that such lies were preserve him and protect him. He copied the same of what his father Abraham did. Therefore, we need to be aware that if we live relying on lies to bless us and prosper us, then the danger of that is not only lies will not protect us and put us in troubles and those with us, but also our children may do and follow the same style of telling lies to protect themselves, and that shall cause troubles to them.
But God would not allow such lies to continue in Isaac's life, and God would come and cleanse him from such. Let us read how God cleansed Isaac from the lie that he made about his wife being his sister. Genesis chapter 26, verses 8 to 12. Genesis chapter 26, verses 8 to 12. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at the window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. And how saidst thou, she is my sister?" And Isaac said unto him, "Because I said, lest I die for her." And Abimelech said, "What is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us." And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, "He that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. God exposed the lie of Isaac to the king of Gerar, who called Isaac and rebuked him for what he did. For he deserved such a rebuke in order to be corrected, to be cleansed, and to be restored back to the good plan that God had for him. Mm-hmm. After Abimelech corrected him and explained to him what was the potential danger of his lie, he assured him that he was well protected and did not need to do such, and that he charged his men that if any man shall touch Isaac or his wife, they shall be put to death. Isaac, being assured, continued to stay in the same place and planted and received on the same year hundredfold of harvest. In the same way, when you are blessed and well provided, but then you still rely on lies to secure your life and living, then God shall not allow you to continue in that. But he will make a way to come and rebuke you and explain to you the bad effects of your lives in order to restore you back to the good plan that God had for you. Leviticus chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. Leviticus chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "If a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or have found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely, in any of all these that a man doeth, sinning therein, then it shall be, because he had sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he had deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he had sworn falsely. He shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation, for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he had done in trespassing therein." Here is another bad effects of lies when the person is dishonest and take things that are belong to others and use them for his own benefits, and use lies and deceiving to cover his sinful act. Such an person, when he is found out he needed to pay back the principal amount that he had taken, and add to it one-fifth of the amount, and give it with the principal to the person that he took from him. In such a manner, he would do what is good and what is right in the sight of God, and he shall be forgiven from the sin that he did. We will tackle another story that shows the harmful effects of lies on those who practice them. Let us read the events of the death of Saul in the battle with the Philistines. 1 Samuel chapter 31, verses 1 to 6. 1 Samuel chapter 31, verses 1 to 6. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Melchizedek, sons, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest this uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor bearer, and all his men that same day together. It is clearly stated here in verse 5, Saul took a sword and fell upon it, and when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead. So his armor bearer saw him dead due to the effect of the sword that Saul used intentionally to fell upon. There is another story about the death of Saul claimed by another person, and it is written in the Bible. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. And it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag, it came even to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. And so it was, when he came to David, that he fell to the earth and did obeisance. And David said unto him, From whence comest thou? And he said unto him, out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. And David said unto him, how went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered, that the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also. And David said unto the young man that told him, how knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan his son be dead? And the young man that told him said, as I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered, here am I. And he said unto me, who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. He said unto me again, stand, I pray thee, upon me, and slay me, for anguish is upon me. For anguish is come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him, and I slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head, and the bracelet that was on his arm, and have brought them hither unto my Lord. The story of this man about the death of Saul is different of what we read as it happened, in which Saul died by falling on his own sword. Here, this man stated that Saul was leaning on his own spear, and that he called him and asked him to stand on him and kill him. And he did such because he was sure that he will not live after he had fallen, and that after he took the bracelet that was on his arm and the crown that was on his head and brought them to David, calling David my Lord, as if he did some service to David and wanted his favor in killing Saul, the previous king. And now the way opened for David to have the kingdom. What he said, this man, was fabricated story. He cooked it in order to get the favor of David and to take the reward from him. Why it was fabricated? Because it was clearly stated in 1 Samuel chapter 31, how Saul died as he fell on his sword, and his armor bearer witnessed that. That Amalekites, who came with a different story, most likely came to the scene and saw Saul dead. So he took the bracelet that was on his arm and the crown that was on his head and came to David seeking a reward. Obviously, what he said of the story was kind of lie. And so let's read what he reaped from the lies that he said. 2 Samuel chapter 1 verses 11 to 16. 2 Samuel chapter 1 verses 11 to 16. Then David took hold on his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him, and he mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. And David said unto the young man that told him, whence art thou? And he answered, I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite. And David said unto him, how wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? And David called one of the young men and said, go near and fall upon him. And he smote him that he died. And David said unto him, thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth had testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. He was put to death for the lie that lied on David. King David took what he said as his own confession to kill King Saul, God's anointed. And so David put him to death. You see here how lies cannot protect you, but put you into troubles and cause you to die. It is a sin. And the wages of sin is death. Telling lies is one of the terrible sin that man may do. It prevents facts and hide and cover grievous sins against God and his people. Telling lies among people in your workplace or where you live is an offensive thing you may do, and it truly disturbs your picture and greatly affects the healthy relation between you and others. Worse than that is when you are telling lies inside the community of believers, the church. Let us read the following true story in the Bible. Acts chapter 5 verses 1 to 10. Acts chapter 5 verses 1 to 10. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why had Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young man arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much? And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. When Ananias and Sapphira told lies in the community of the believers, the church, and especially the lied to Apostle Peter, who was leading the church, they lied to God. Telling lies inside the church, and especially to the man who lead the church, the pastor, it means you are lying to the Holy Spirit, who is God. God is present among his people in the church in the form of the Holy Spirit. So when you lie to the pastor of the church and hide something from him, that means you lie to the Holy Spirit, who is God, and this is a grave sin. The Lord God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save us from sin and death. The Lord Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, but rose from the dead on the third day to give eternal life to those who believe in him and follow his steps in their lives. After his resurrection from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ went to heaven, and he will come back again to take us, we who belong to him. Now, if he suffered such a great suffering, he will come to take those who are pure in heart and had cleansed themselves from sin. Telling lies inside the church and to the pastor of the church, that it means you are no longer acting as a child of God, but as a child of the devil. That's what the Lord Jesus said to those who lie. John chapter 8, John chapter 8, verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. Why Ananias and Sapphira both agreed and lied to God? And why some people may lie inside the church to the pastor and to the members of the church? Number one, pretending the highest commitment. Some, they pretend to be so holy and highly consecrated to God. But when you carefully examine their lives, you will find still there are areas of sin in their lives not yet surrendered to God. Religious people, they pretend and wear the mask of high dedication and self-righteousness, but from inside you find sin, corruption, and the sinful nature of the old man, as the Word of God tells us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Number two, pride. Humble yourself and don't show off. Humble yourself, confess your sin, and ask God to cleanse you. Ananias and Sapphira, both, they could tell that they have kept some money for themselves. But their pride pushed them to lie because they would feel ashamed if it is proved that they could not bring the whole money of the property to the church. Some person before them had sold the property he owned and brought the whole money and put it at the apostles' feet. They wanted to imitate him and do the same. Their pride pushed them to lie in order to puff up. Don't let your pride move you to show off. You cannot do big thing with your own strength. Trust God and rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, and He will lift you up. 1 Peter 5:6-7. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. 3, they entertained devil's lies. When they lied, it means Satan was in their hearts. They were following deceiving spirits. 1 Timothy 4:1-2. 1 Timothy 4:1-2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Don't follow deceiving spirit, and don't depend on your heart feelings. Jeremiah 17:9-10. Jeremiah 17:9-10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Depend and trust the word of God. Reject the devil's lies and the wrong feelings of your heart. Follow God's word exactly. Through this, be sure you will do right and you will be in the safe way. My dear and beloved, to what Ananias and Sapphira did, God brought his judgment on them and put to death. And in such, God brought his fear upon his church. Acts 5:11. Acts 5:11. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. I hope and pray that the message had brought the fear of God on you. When you know something is wrong, then don't do it, testing the Lord. God will not be silent, but He will combat your evil works. Amen. Matthew 4:7. Matthew 4:7. Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." 1 Corinthians 10:9. 1 Corinthians 10:9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Better for you to confess your sins and renounce them. By this you will find mercy and you will prosper. Colossians 3:9. Colossians 3:9. Lie not one to another, saying that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Repent of all your lies, because telling lies belongs to the old man that you need to put off from your life, so that you can follow Christ. And be ready to go with us when Jesus will come back to take to heaven. Putting in your mind that liars with all their kinds will end up in the second death. Revelation chapter 21 verse 8. Revelation chapter 21 verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Shall we all rise? Let us stand and let us pray. Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus, who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead to give me eternal life. Lord, thank you for your word to me and for the various scriptures that you showed me and enlightened my mind about the serious effects of telling lies. Lord, thank you for the rebukes that come through your word and the corrections we receive in this message. Come now to God and confess and renounce all your sins. Confess and renounce your lies, your fear of men, your lack of trust in God. Confess and renounce your cheating and all your dishonesty. Confess and renounce all your fabricated and cooked stories. Confess and renounce your pride, boasting and showing off. Confess and renounce your lack of fear in God. Confess and renounce your worldliness and your love for material things. Confess and renounce your yoke with non-believers and in bondage with the media, news and gains. Confess and renounce your lack of reading of God's word in your Bible and your lack of prayers. Lord, forgive me. I repent of the following sins. Lord, I renounce all my lies. Lord, I commit myself to live a life in your presence and to serve you with a pure heart and clean hands. Lord, lead me out from my sins and restore me back to you and to your service. Lord, sustain me with your grace and power for me to continue to serve you. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for my brothers and sisters who repented of their sins and cleansed themselves from all lies, cheating, and dishonesty. Lord, continue to lead them out of their troubles that they put themselves in and guide them to live according to your will and plans. Lord, fill them with the Holy Spirit and use them to serve you and make them good testimonies to others to follow you. Lord, bless us as your church. Lord, we commit ourselves to live in holiness and away from lies and deception and in accordance to your word that we receive in this message. Lord, lead us, guide us, protect us, and provide for us to go forward in life and ministry, trusting you fully, taking the right decision that goes along your will and plan for us. Lord, we ask you to refill us with the Holy Spirit and give us the spiritual gifts that we need to go on and evangelize and make new disciples and train new workers to go and plant more Bible studies and congregations for the church. Lord, we pray for more people to be water baptized and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, prepare us for your coming to go with you when you come, Lord. Lord, fulfill the vision of the church, multiplication in peace with implementing the whole will of God. Lord, bless us, enlarge our territory. Let your hand be with us and free us from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen.
We come to the presence.